Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, we are the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more even on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We got trolling or rolling at the bottom of the hour. And we were supposed to have Ephraim Salaam, our friend here at Fox Sports Radio, a weekend host, former NFL veteran, also a big-time college ball player in basketball. So he knows his sports all around. He'll join us instead at 5:45 Pacific.
We're breaking our own rules.
8:45 Eastern. Yes.
You missed your slot. You missed your slot. You're usually done on the Odd Couple.
He gets one chance.
This Rob G, mark it down. It better not happen again. I don't care if Ephraim's listening. It better not happen again.
What are you so feisty about today?
I don't know. Just my phone. I had to get a new phone today.
Yeah, you got new. You had to. Your old one broke or something?
Nah, just was like, I don't know. Just it was time to upgrade, and I couldn't get any information. You know, like the phone wouldn't. I couldn't get calls, anything. So I was frustrated before the show trying to get everything together. It's working now. The phone's not working, but everything else. So I'll
so
go
that's
to the
why
phone
you were
store.
Snapping at me in the first.
No,
segment.
You know what? This is the other part. I would just say this real quick. The other part is nobody else has played. And if the Ravens come out, Chris, just I'm going to throw it out there, and they score 75 points against Cleveland, or 55 points or whatever, and demolish them.
Right, right.
Then you will look and go, I don't know, maybe the Ravens are. You know what I mean? So that's why I didn't want to react to one game. Nobody else
has
played.
Well, I know. That. Look, we all – it's going to be a hard fight. Those are the two teams, right, in the AFC. We'll see if the Ravens get through, you know, in the playoffs. But right. In the regular season, they're going to be the two.
I think they'll be right
so
there.
So the Ravens may very well look better. Let's face it. They looked better last year.
They won 12 in a row. Go look at the teams they beat en route to that 12.
Oh, no. And
it was ridiculous.
Right. They were routing them. You know, so, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, right.
It was just backing up the pick. But anyway, we talked about it. I touched on it, obviously, in Broussard's Fab Five. The definitive list on the best MVPs to never win a championship. For those that didn't hear it, again, at number 5, it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. At number 4, it was James Harden. At number 3, it was Allen Iverson. At number 2, it was Charles Barkley. And number 1 was Karl Malone. I hate it to leave Steve Nash and Russell Westbrook off the
list.
And
especially Steve Nash, who won back-to-back, which is not hard, which is not easy to do, Chris.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, to be the MVP of the league 2 years in a row?
Right.
I mean, wow.
Here's what I say about Nash and, say, Iverson, because that's a good comparison. Who do I think was the better player? I would say Allen Iverson. Who would I rather start a team with? Steve Nash. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because Nash is going to be – it's easier to put people around Nash.
But I think there's also
Iverson
an indictment of him. I'm
of
sorry.
Nash?
Yeah.
I was going to say, the only time Iverson had deep playoff success was when – I mean, Larry Brown, great coach, built that team, you know, specifically around him, some spot-up shooters and
that's
grinders.
What Larry Brown can do, Chris. We talk about him all the time.
Yep.
And when that team went to the championship – one game won, right? Didn't they win game one or no?
And the Lakers had ran through the Western Conference undefeated.
Yep.
They won game one, yeah.
They won game one, and then they couldn't win another one.
You knew they weren't going to win the series,
right? But
they
that
won
said
that game.
Something,
yeah.
Right? It wasn't like they got to the finals and then got, you know, steamrolled.
Right.
So I'm always partial to Larry Brown because I've seen him do that. And that team, if you really go back and look at the roster, Dikembe Mutombo and Larry Brown and Allen Iverson.
Right.
That's
then you
it.
Had like Aaron McKee, Eric
right.
Snow, George Lynch. God bless them, but they were role players.
Right.
You know,
all role players, right.
Yes, yes. They could do something well. But it's just, you know, I think it was easier to build around Nash than Iverson. But yeah, Nash never even got to the finals. So, you
and
know,
with that team, when you go back and look at that Phoenix team, Chris, and how stacked, I got it, it's the Western Conference. But if you're the MVP and you got the kind of pieces he had around him, it's mind-boggling they didn't get there one time. Seriously.
I put a lot of that on D'Antoni.
I do too.
Because his lack of attention to detail, they didn't make adjustments. And their series with the Spurs in particular would come down to some mental error that the Suns would ultimately make and the Spurs wouldn't. Whether it was a missed rotation, a turnover at the wrong time, somebody blowing an assignment, or even the Phoenix Suns players getting up off the bench, Rob, when there was a fight.
Right.
And the Spurs staying on the bench. Just those little things, you know? Attention to detail that's not a strength of D'Antoni's, and it hurts him in the playoffs. But sticking with, you know, with D'Antoni, James Harden, Rob, and I'm not saying this to soften anything, but I'm saying it because Harden has a lot of detractors. Like, people say they hate watching him play. There's never been such a great player that they couldn't stand to watch. I actually like watching Harden play because I understand how difficult it is for a guy when you got a defender on you who, in most cases with Harden, is more athletic, long, rangy, good defender, sometimes great defender.
Let me just throw this in real quick.
They're standing right in front of you, and you're just dribbling, and you're able to create space or go by him. That is incredibly difficult, and he can do it all the time.
No, I got it. I just wanted to make a comparison before I forget. Is he the Floyd Mayweather of the NBA, Chris? Like, Floyd Mayweather never lost, but there are a lot of people who tell you, I hate watching a Mayweather fight.
Well, see, I was going to say, and I didn't know where you were going.
That's the only thing.
At first, I was going to be like, well, Floyd does show up in the big fights.
No. But I just mean, you were saying that people, yeah, as good as he is, people don't like to watch him. That's what made me think of Mayweather.
That's a good point. I would say to some people, yes. To some people, that's who he is. Not to me, because I like watching him. But, yeah, I mean, most pundits seem to not enjoy watching him. So I'm a fan. I voted for him to be the MVP in 2015 when Steph won his first MVP. So, I mean, Harden is tremendous. But, Rob, yesterday was just sad. It was sad. And the two saddest things to me were, one, it wasn't even that surprising. I mean, is there any other great player that if he goes 2-for-11 in a critical playoff game, you're not going to be surprised? If LeBron did that, or Anthony Davis, or Giannis, or any of these guys, you would be surprised.
Right.
But with Harden, it's happened so much that it's not. In fact, for some reason, there's something special about 2-for-11 because he's done that four times in the playoffs.
Is that right? Is that the number?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't get it. But yes, that's what he's done, 2-for-11 several times. Four of them, to be exact. His last six closeout games before yesterday, which wasn't a closeout, it was a de facto closeout, but not an official one, he was shooting 25% from three.
Wow.
And so this is James Harden. And Rob, I remember, you remember it as well. His first finals with OKC, when they played Miami, they were all young, him, Durant, and Westbrook. And Harden just didn't show up.
And before that, Chris, up until the Western Conference Finals, right?
Yep.
He was a stud.
Yep.
I remember watching him saying, this dude is unbelievable, and he was a no-show, right?
Absolutely.
He was a no-show in the Western Conference Finals. No, just a no-show.
Well, he was a no-show in the finals against Miami.
Finals, I'm sorry, right. He played well all the way up to that point.
Yep. Yeah, and that's when, I believe that was his last year with OKC. So he had already emerged as, oh, this dude's going to be the truth. Remember that? So I gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was young. You know, I figured first trip to the finals, he's young. You know, it's no big deal. But this has become a thing, Rob, where I don't know if he gets tight. You know, we've given him excuses in the past that he, you know, he does so much in the regular season that he gets fatigued. He carries them so much by himself that he doesn't have anything left in the playoffs. We can't say that right now because they have 4 months off and they're in the bubble and they play, what, 8 regular season games and then, you know, 1.5 rounds in the playoffs.
But I don't, he only gave you the game one where he played extremely well and they rolled, right? And then he's been a no-show since then.
And even the number of shots. Remember. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, he did get 20 free throws, so that speaks to some level of aggressiveness. But still, I mean, he only took 11 shots, as you said. I mean, come on. Now, what
you're not going to win if you're Houston if he takes 11 shots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like you have no shot to win. Not.
And I'll give the Lakers – look, the Lakers' D has been fantastic. They've been showing him different looks, trapping him. You know, LeBron's been on him. Different looks all around. But here's the thing. He's done the same thing against Golden State, against San Antonio, against, you know, the Lakers at one other point in the past.
So it's not like it's just some Laker defense or they're doing something that you know what I mean, through a monkey wrench and what he does or his game plan, plan for him. Everybody's been able to stop him or he's been able to stop himself.
He stopped himself. I think it's more of that. And I don't remember. Now, I know Karl Malone had bad games, Barkley. All the greats have had bad games. But I don't remember this, Rob. I don't remember somebody almost like clockwork. He's going to not show up in a big moment. I thought he might be over it, even though they lost, you know, last year to Golden State. He put up numbers. I mean, you can hold that against him because forget the numbers. You still lost to a Golden State team without KD. But
if you remember,
I thought he might be over it.
Don't forget, after KD got hurt, do you remember Barkley said, oh, it's over, like for Golden State?
Oh,
remember that?
It should have been, Rob.
Because they were going
to
win at home, right?
Or right. Like,
they're winning at home, and then they'll win, I don't remember, was that 6-7? I don't remember if he even went 7.
5-6.
5-6.
Yeah, because I think it ended in 6. But look, props to Steph, Clay, Draymond. I mean, that's a team that won a championship. They deserve some respect. But everybody thought at that point Houston's got control. And obviously they didn't get it done. So I would say this. Magic Johnson, Rob, we remember 1984, Tragic Johnson. He was bad in the finals. LeBron against Dallas in 2011. We mentioned it the other day, Isaiah Thomas throwing the ball away in game 5 against Boston in 1987 in the conference finals. So great players have had horribly bad moments. But again, I can't remember one doing it this often. It's not every game, every other game. But too many times in critical playoff games, he just hasn't shown up and even looked disengaged at times. So that is baffling. And I hate to see it because he is such a great regular season player. But Rob, this is going to follow him now. Until he gets over the hump, it's going to follow him. All right,
and rightfully so. Go ahead.
Right. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. Why do you think that James Harden consistently comes up small in the big moments of the playoffs? And what, if anything, can he do to change the narrative?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the iCouple. The heavy one is on the ones and the twos. Bringing back music before he was even born on a flunky flashback Friday. But he's doing
all these guys are so young. It's crazy.
I know,
don't you
man.
Think sometimes.
This song brings back memories to you, Rob. I know.
Oh, yeah. I had my two parts in my hair. I had two chicks in the back seat.
Oh, look at you. See?
And I was in the back seat, too.
I ain't asked you to go all there, but anyway. All right, now we're brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone's got more ways for you to do what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online, grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone with AutoZone. All right, we threw it out to you. What in the world happens to James Harden in these big clutch moments, and what can he do to fix it? Your turn to weigh in. 877-99 on Fox.
Let's kick it off with Pete in New Orleans. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Pete?
Hey, it's Keith, y'all. Keith, I'm up.
Keith.
Understood, man.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Listen, I think the biggest story would be if he actually shows up in the clutch versus him just being inconsistently bad in the clutch. It gets to a point where I feel sorry for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because last night it looked like he conceded.
But Keith,
like
when
he just accepted, I'm that guy that they say I am. I don't deliver in the clutch. That's what it looked like.
But when Keith, let me ask you, game one when he played so well and they beat the Lakers going away, what did you think then? I mean, it just seemed like that was 3 years ago. That's how bad he's been since then.
But it's typically been the game sixes and, you know what I mean? Not the earliest games.
Yeah, it was house money he was playing with at that point in time. I mean, no one really expected them to take the first game, so it was no pressure. Now he's down, now there's pressure, so... I think he folds. He folds like laundry.
It's tough. All right. It's tough.
All right. Thanks for the call, Keith. How about Joe in North Carolina? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, yeah. You know, I've been watching basketball a long time, and, you know, it's rare that high scorers do well in the playoffs, except for, like, Bob Pettit, the St. Louis Hawks, or Michael Jordan. Usually... That's way back. But usually high scorers don't do good. That's because the defense in the NBA, when the playoffs come, the defense ratchets up. And if you're a player that can respond to that, okay. But, you know, during the regular season, you just cruise on. And that was load management before load management, was just not playing defense in the NBA because it's an 88-game season and you wear yourself out. But once the playoffs start, the defense ratchets up, and until he gets like a, you know, Michael Jordan got the triangle. That helped him because every team's planning to stop you. And if you can't overcome that tough defense, then, you know, that's what I think.
Well, and you hit on something else that Rob, you know, Rob, and this is one of the reasons, another notch on Jordan's belt in the argument for why he's the GOAT is that he did break conventional wisdom in that he was able to lead the league in scoring and win consistently. Remember, before Jordan, there was a belief that you couldn't lead the league in scoring and win. Like, not win big, you know? Like, Bird never led the league in scoring, as great a scorer as he was. Kareem wasn't leading the league in scoring in L.A. when he was winning all those championships. You know, it's rare that a guy leads the league. Well, now it's a little less rare. But back then, it was just believed you needed more team play and, you know, you didn't need to lead the league in scoring. So there's a point there that's made. It shows that Houston's kind of they're a two-man team, really, not a one-man team, but they get stifled in the playoffs, obviously.
All right, KP in New Mexico. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, KP?
Fellas, what's happening?
What's up, brother?
Hey, Chris, first of all, man, I got to give you props. All the analysts on the other network and your network, you see the game with your eyes and you fit that game through your eyes, out of your mouth, better than anybody else that I can see on TV or listen to on radio.
Thank you, brother.
You
I really appreciate
how
that.
It is.
I really
Having
appreciate
said that,
man.
I'm ashamed you even put Harden up there. Having one MVP.
In the top five?
In the top five. And let me tell you why, man. It's hard for people who don't have it to understand it, but if you don't have heart, you just don't have it. AI had heart. AI would eat Harden's lunch and then throw a yo-yo up off the backboard and score 50 points on him every day. Like,
hell,
you know.
I mean, at this point, it's hard to defend James, right, Rob?
It's impossible. You know what? I'd say it's Harden to... Did you hear me?
Yes.
That's
that was
not
actually
bad.
Pretty good. That was pretty good.
It's
like
Harden too.
It's hard.
All right. Yes. Andre in like Massachusetts. That's an original. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Andre?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Where you been?
I've I've been MIA, but I'm back for Funky Flash Friday. I had to get back to Funky Flash Friday. I love the jams. We have some awesome 80s jams that's going on. I love the Bob Pettit reference, St. Louis Hawks.
So but you're in your 20s, right? How old are you, Andre? Andre, how old are you?
Don't be up here fronting.
Yeah, I'm 38 years young. I'm 38. I'm from the Austin.
Are you? You sound 22.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? You're 38?
38 years young. I'm trying to hold on to the baby face looks. You know, it's a work in progress.
All right.
But a little bit older. But to the business, James Harden, the man has never had the eye of the tiger, and he's never really been called to have the eye of the tiger, because when that heat turns up, he steps right out of the kitchen and goes to the veranda. And he's not really built for it. And the fact of the matter is, because he's never had the pressure to carry the league, the burden. He's been a second-tier star, and frankly, he's happy to be a second-tier star, whereas guys like Dame Lillard, and what we saw from Jamal Murray, guys, that's hungry. That, you know, they take it to the next level. So he's always
I got to stop you there, Andre. You mentioned, I don't think Dame and Jamal take it to any level that Harden doesn't take it to, honestly.
Yeah, and
you know, they're all in a similar boat. Murray's not even in their level yet.
And Jamal Murray has the biggest drop-off from series to series, Chris, other than Sean Marion. You know,
right.
Sean dropped like 14 and a half points from series to series. And now the Clippers have him. He's 13.7 points less than he was in the series before. So wow. I don't know if we could say that.
Yeah, you can't go there. Harden will have a bad game at the wrong time. Murray's had a bad series.
Right.
You know, Harden
can't drop off 14
games,
points
yeah.
from your average. That's huge.
Yeah,
your team can't win.
That's going too far. All right, second-year quarterbacks have won the MVP 2 years in a row. Is Kyler Murray next in line? We'll get into that and so much more in Trolling or Rolling. That's next, but first.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
They see me trolling.
Tom Brady, he's done.
Rodgers did not have a Pro Bowl season.
Trying to kiss me right in there.
It's Trolling or Rolling.
That's right, it's Trolling or Rolling. I'm Martin Weiss, and if Rob and Chris like the story I'm about to read, you hear the roll sound.
They see me rolling.
And if they don't, you hear the troll sound.
Oh, well, man.
You speaking in slow motion or what?
Hey.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make sure everybody can get it.
Doesn't
it
sound
Chris.
Slow, Rob?
Yeah, a little bit. Put a little energy in there. They slowed down the record.
Yeah, come on, brother. And plus, it's already bad enough
Lord.
You sound like you in your bathroom. But now
Golly, I'm me. Oh, okay. All right. Everybody's a little hyped up on a football Friday, I see.
There you go.
I see everybody's hyped up on a football Friday. I'm trolling both of y'all. How about that, huh? Anyway.
All right.
No. In any event, let's see here. In any event, last year's NFL MVP was a first-round quarterback in his second season, right? Lamar Jackson. 2 years ago, the NFL MVP was a first-round quarterback in his second season, Patrick Mahomes. This year, I think the NFL MVP will be a second-year quarterback taken in the first round, who was gifted all-pro receiver DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason. Rob, are you trolling or rolling? Kyler Murray will be NFL MVP.
I'm trolling it. You're dreaming.
Oh, man. Hey.
I just can't follow that. I saw what happened with those guys. I'm not convinced, even with the receiver. It's still Arizona. Got to win games. You might be able to put up some numbers with him. I don't see it. The MVP is not just strictly a numbers game. It's also about winning. So I don't see Kyler Murray and the Cardinals winning enough for him to be the MVP.
I'm with Rob. I'm trolling it.
Oh, man. Hey.
I mean, look, Martin, you're not winning the MVP with an 8-8 record.
Right.
I mean, so this, or 7-9 or whatever they're going to go. I mean, look at their division. The 49ers and Seahawks, we know, are legit.
Right.
The Rams aren't bad. I mean, they were 9-7 in a bad year last year. What? Who? Come on. Are you
the
serious?
The teams they have to hop over are just
right.
Great.
He'll put up
Rob
numbers.
G.
You know, he put up numbers last year. But they'll Rob bring G, in Rob G to save
Rob
you.
G, no. I wanted to save you. I just wanted to put this audio because I remember a similar time we had a similar discussion about one Nick Foles. And I was on one side of the argument that both of you all were.
He's not that bad.
Yeah, see, exactly, Rob G. Well, that's why I want you to pull the audio.
Well, wait a minute. Let's stop. Wait a minute.
September 11th.
We've always said that Nick Foles is a backup who shines when there's nothing expected. But give him the keys to the car and he's going to struggle.
Right.
Stop.
We talk about it all the time. All right, so, Martin, let's bet a pair of Jordans since you're so confident about Kyler Murray. You want to do that?
How about that?
Come on.
Both
put your money where your mouth is. Huh?
You got to give me some odds.
What odds? You're picking him to win the MVP. I'm asking you.
Right, and it's the whole record of the NFL.
All right, here's the odds. 2-1. You ready? I'll buy you 2 if he's the MVP.
Well, this is no, because I want in on this.
So you buy him 2
Well, how about this? I'm going to go ahead and continue doing what I'm doing.
Listen, listen.
Here it is.
Because
y'all give me worse odds than a special at 7-Eleven.
Listen.
Will you listen? Rob and I will buy you 3 of Jordans combined. And if Murray wins MVP, if he doesn't, you buy each of us 1.
Yes, you get 3.
What kind of sense does that make for me? How about this? I'll go lay $100 on Kyler Murray and buy 5 pairs.
You
Jordan
know what?
After I win my bet,
Chris,
he's clearly scared.
Come on,
he's
that
scared.
Don't make sense.
Nah, yeah, then don't put it out there. Next. Go ahead, move on. You're not serious.
I'm trolling both of y'all.
You should know.
Give me some odds.
Shut up on the odd couple.
We gave you odds. We're giving you. Hey, Martin, we'll give you 4, and you just buy me and Chris 1 each. We'll give you 2 each.
Now we're talking.
All right, we got a bet. Let's make the bet.
We got a bet.
All
right. 4-1. 4-1.
God, that was so easy. Are you kidding me, Chris?
4-1.
2 a pair of Jordans.
Okay. Remember that. Rack this.
No. 1
I'm going to send you the type I one want
pair.
Tonight.
One pair. Rob said 4-1.
Right.
You
two
buy
pair
one
for
Bob,
you. Right.
One for me.
Right.
We'll each buy you two. We'll buy one pair for both of us.
That don't make sense.
All right, I'm trolling y'all. Y'all don't want to give me fair odds. I'm not about to do this. Come on now.
Come on. We
gambling's legal in a lot of around the country. I could go play some things with what's better odds.
Dude.
All right, this is going to be the last one. Go ahead,
come on now. What kind of bookies? Go to the question.
You're about to get cut off. Really. Seriously. One question. Come on.
All right. Everybody's excited for the game of the week. The Buccaneers at the Saints. According to Tampa Bay general manager Jason Licht, Tom Brady's arm strength looks, quote, stronger than what we saw on tape last year. Now, maybe the Florida sun has rejuvenated Brady, but Chris, are you trolling or rolling that Brady's arm strength will be stronger than last year?
I'm going to roll with it. I don't think that's impossible. From what they saw on tape, you know, look, he didn't have receivers to throw to. As much as I like Brady, I admit it, he got no weapons, and at this age, he can't carry weapons or carry, you know, marginal receivers and skill players anymore. Now he's got the weapons. You know, I think it's possible. I mean, by a nick. I mean, it's not going to be much stronger, but maybe it's looking better than they expected. That's what I'd say.
I'm trolling that.
Oh, man. Hey.
Your arm doesn't get stronger as you get older. I just don't buy into that as much. He might have been fresh because maybe, you know, there weren't that much practice and whatnot. I just don't believe that ultimately his arm will be better. Nobody's arm gets better.
A couple of trolling and rolling Fox Sports Radio. That's it.
Yeah, because you played with us on the Jordan bet. You teased us.
If you all want to give me some good odds, I could take.
We gave you two to one, two pair. From Chris, 2 from me, and if we win the bet, you buy us each a pair. What? How is that not great odds? You would get 4
because
Jordans.
He's like +650 in Vegas. The odds don't add up. I get better odds shopping.
He don't believe in Kyler Murray.
Right.
That whole thing was just
We don't play that on the odd couple, Martin. You know this.
Don't come with that nonsense.
You're making these ridiculous claims.
Well, what's the show
and
on
we
before
just let
y'all?
It go.
It was straight out of Vegas.
We don't,
I get better
we don't
let straight out of Vegas.
Get away
than
with that.
With
you know we're not letting you get away with that.
Lord have mercy.
All right, that's our man, Martin Weiss.
Kyler Murray. Oh,
Martin,
my God.
Martin, be better next
Highway
week.
Highway Robert.
Be better. Do better next week, all right? You're better than this. All right, former NFL vet Ephraim Salaam joins us next. It's the iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it's the iCouple, Chris and Rob. We are back. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. He's a longtime NFL veteran, now a Fox Sports Radio weekend host, our friend, Mr. Ephraim Salaam. What's up, brother?
What's happening, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's happening?
We good. We thought you were standing us up, man.
Nah, I never do that, man. But I got kids in homeschooling, and this Zoom, distance learning thing is killing me.
Yeah, I don't envy you, brother.
You got a new appreciation for teachers now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my mom was a teacher, so I get it.
You know it,
oh,
right?
Oh, man. Woo. All right, well, let's get into the football. Last night, the Chiefs, I think they have a great chance, Ephraim, to be better than they were last year with the expected improvement from Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I loved him at LSU. Obviously, he's going to get wide open running lanes because the other stuff you have to worry about. I think the Chiefs could be better. What are your thoughts on them?
The Chiefs can go undefeated, man. When you really look at – listen to me. When you really look at – what was the one thing we said about the Chiefs, right? It's like they really don't have a semblance of a running game, right? They can get away with it because they do a lot of things personnel-wise. They do a lot of, you know, plays with skill positions out of the backfield. But they didn't really have that four-minute style type offense that you could just hand it to somebody in the fourth quarter when you have a lead. They have that with this young man. And the new offensive guard, his name eludes me, but they were smash mouth. And that's, you don't equate that with
– You're right. At the end of the game, they did do that. Yep.
Right? Like, you don't equate that with – like, back when Will Shields and they had the dominant Brian Waters and all of those guys on the offensive line, they could do that. But – it's been more of a specialty type thing. Now they can really line everybody up and just move you off the ball. The rich got richer. That's all I can tell you.
Ephraim, we just were talking about Kyler Murray. Martin Weiss was on with us, and he was trying to make the comparison that second-year quarterbacks have won the MVP. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, so he was saying that Kyler Murray's going to be the MVP. Where are you on that?
No. The thing that doesn't even make any sense. But even if that was the trend that was going on, what all of those other second-year quarterbacks had was a full offseason.
Thank you.
OTAs, training camp, preseason. None of these second-year quarterbacks had any of that. So they are not going to be able to make those types of leaps and bounds that we expect second-year talented quarterbacks to make. They're still under a slight learning curve because they just haven't had enough reps team-wise with all of the players on the team. It makes no sense to think that someone like Kyler Murray with Arizona, yeah, they got a good wideout. They don't have no offensive line. We're not quite sure what they're going to do in the running game. It's not enough pieces around him for him even to take that leap. Even
right, going 8-8 is not going to get you the MVP.
No, at all. They're not going to even make the playoffs in that division.
Right. Well, Ephraim, do you expect Lamar Jackson to take off where he left last year? There obviously was tremendous, but there's a part of me that wonders: do teams catch up with him? You know, as far as what they're doing. Or even just that style, does that catch up with him? If you lose just a little bit of burst, it's going to be a lot different for him. Or do you think he just keeps moving the way he did last year and has just as much success?
I think he may get better. I think he may get better with a greater understanding of the offense and what's expected of him. His leap from year one to two was amazing. He does fit into that category of second-year players, being MVP. His leaps and bounds, we came out that first game and we wanted to say, okay, who's he going to be? Is he going to have to run the ball? He ran the ball for 8 yards and threw for 5 touchdowns.
Right.
Right? So his growth, his IQ, his football IQ, his understanding of that offense is getting better and better, and I don't see any way that he takes a step back there. I think he's going to be an even better player than he was last year. If you look at Patrick Mahomes, his MVP year, he had better numbers last year, right? It's just that Lamar Jackson was just out of this world.
I don't know if he had better numbers. What do you mean, like this past season?
Yeah, I think he had better ones his rookie year or his
first year. Yeah, because he had 50 exactly. touchdowns. This year, last year only had 26
or something.
It hurt
a little bit, too.
Yeah. What about what do you make of the, you know, people been dying to watch football. The game came on last night. 14% rating drop from a year ago. What do you make of that with the NFL? You thought people were dying for football, you know, the pandemic, everything.
I think they are. I think the drop is equated to the NBA playoffs. I think it's equated to NHL playoffs. I think it's equated to baseball. Now, like, we're jam-packed. Tennis, everything. Like, yesterday, I was watching the football game. I was watching the U.S. Open. And I was watching the basketball. The Lakers game. Yeah. Right? So, I'm flipping. I'm going. I've got all kinds of TVs going on and all of that. I just think the playing field is crowded right now. But, you know, the NBA is going to go into the conference finals and then the finals. And then, look, football still king. Right?
Ephraim, so, yeah, no, it's not about whether or not they're king or not. I agree with that. I'm just saying to be 14% down when Kansas City's a fun team to watch.
I think it was 8.5%.
I thought Steve DeSantis said
it was
14.
Early when they came out, but then I think there was a one with that.
All right,
was
it was
updated.
Down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. It was,
okay.
I get it. Look, go ahead.
You a hoop fan too. What do you make of James Harden? Because it just seems like every time, that's an overstatement, but, you know, seemingly every time he's in a big playoff game, he just doesn't deliver. He shrinks.
Well, that style of play isn't conducive.
We got 30 seconds.
That style of play isn't conducive to playoff level defense. You can get him out of his game. You can take him out of the game. If you take the ball out of his game, he doesn't move without the ball.
Right.
So once he passes the ball, it's over. He's done. And defensively, he's still a liability. So I get it. Once you make him work on the defensive end, he's tired. And once you take the ball out of his hand on the offensive end, it's over. He's no longer on the court.
All right. That's our man, Ephraim Salam.
Thanks,
we appreciate
buddy.
It, brother.
Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend,
absolutely.
Man. Yep.
All right. Stay black, brothers.
All right.
Only way to go.
Yeah, we definitely will do that. All right. More I Couple is coming your way. We got an hour left. Look, all of a sudden, Rob, Denver's trying to make a run. They got within two. Now they're within five with about seven and a half minutes left. They were actually within three. So maybe they'll make a little run at this. I still think the Clippers are going to hold them off tonight. But we got an hour left. Keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio. The I Couple, Chris and Rob, do not touch that dial.